It's time to talk about the path ahead. The road to the postseason, the trade deadline, and we'll get the Rising Star stuff in at the end. That rhymed. I didn't mean that to rhyme. It did. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. Can words rhyme with themselves? I don't know. It's time to lay out the roadmap. It's time for Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is February 1st, 2023. My name is Philip Rossenreich. I'm the expert insight editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, we're going to lay out the roadmap for the rest of the year. The Orlando Magic, sitting at 20-31, have the same record they had in 2019 when they made their amazing run to the playoffs, their 22-9 push to get the 7th seed in the 2019 playoffs. We'll talk about what's similar and what's different about those two teams and the path ahead for the Orlando Magic, plus why the trade market is going to make things very difficult for the Orlando Magic. We'll get into some trade deadline talk. We'll have more trade deadline later on in the week, but we'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day, no matter when you listen to us, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's right when we upload. We truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Remember, there's a great Locked On podcast covering every single team in the NBA. Just search for Locked On and the team you're looking for, the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. I made this point a few days ago. I'll make this point again here. In 2019, just 4 short years ago, we all thought that the Orlando Magic were cooked. I actually went back and looked. January 29th, 2019, the Orlando Magic lost the Oklahoma City Thunder. I wrote an article. I probably did a podcast about it. My archives go that deep. About how Steve Clifford kind of challenged his Orlando Magic team to be as good as they know they can be. No one expected the Magic to do what they did over the final 31 games. To go 22-9, to be one of the top offenses and defenses in the league over the last quarter plus of the season. To get to 42-40 and earn the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. I know that is not the main prize. I know that is not the end goal. That is not the be-all, end-all of everything. But that is always going to be one of the most memorable seasons in Magic history. That is always going to be a team that we will look back on fondly. And as much as people, and I still get this, that delayed the inevitable, which it probably did. It also put us on the path we're on now. It was still really important and really energized this fan base and gave us moments that we won't forget. You know, whether it was the win over the Warriors, whether it was DJ Augustine schooling a young Trae Young, whether it was the win in Boston or the game one win over the Raptors before they won the title. That game 3 in the Amway Center was special. This isn't about litigating that team, though. It's about merely pointing out that this year's Magic team, as different as they are, as different as their trajectory and their history is, are sitting in the exact same spot. In 2019, the Orlando Magic were 20-31 and 5 games back of the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. Today, the Magic are 20-31 and sitting 4 games back of the final play-in spot, the 10th seed, in the Eastern Conference. The path that these two teams are going to have to travel are not dissimilar. They're not so different. And the task, and while Orlando probably doesn't have to get to 500, that year 42-40 was the number to get in. I would say this year the number to get into the play-in tournament is probably going to be about 37, 38 wins. So we're 17 wins away if you want to view it that way. It's still going to be a difficult trek ahead. And one that this team can do. They have the talent to do it. But one that we all have to recognize is going to be difficult. Because what the Magic did in 2019 was really special. For a team to suddenly wake up like it did and have everything click, that isn't normal. It does happen. It's not like it doesn't exist. But it's not normal. And that's where this young Magic team sits. Certainly capable. And like Game 51 in 2019, Game 51 for the Orlando Magic was a gut check. Game 51 for the Orlando Magic this season was that team having to understand very quickly how good they can be and having to show it on the floor in a very meaningful way. That is something. Like, again, that game on Monday was really consequential. And obviously, it's only as important as tonight's game against Philadelphia. If Orlando can't show the same effort, I don't know if they have to win tonight, but if the Magic can't show the same effort, intensity, focus that they showed in the second half of Monday's game, if that doesn't carry over, then Monday's game loses its significance and importance. So just momentum is the next day's pitcher. But there are key differences that are worth noting. In 2019, the Orlando Magic had already established themselves as a solid defensive team. Despite their record, despite where they were, the Magic were 16th in the league in defensive rating. This year's Magic team is, I believe, 25th in offensive rating and 23rd or 24th in defensive rating. If anything, these postseason hopes the Magic have are both a product of the play-in tournament and the opportunity that it creates, but also a sign that the Magic might be outperforming their record just a little bit. Now, obviously, things change if you chop off those first 25 games. You look at the team since Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony came back, since after the losing streak ended. There are signs the Magic are improving, and some of it is their defense, but a lot of it is their offense has gotten a lot better. Their defense, since the losing streak ended, since December 7th, is still like in the teens, low teens. Meanwhile, their offense has gotten a lot better, especially in January. This is to say that one of the reasons the 2019 team was able to be successful was a lot of things were already quietly clicking. And that was a veteran group that understood how to play and how to manage the season in a way that this young group doesn't. And so, if we're allowed to be skeptical that this team can make that same run, this version of the Magic, the 2023 version of the Magic, there just aren't signs in the numbers to tell you that everything's clicked. I mean, the word of the second half of the season, the theme for the second half of the season for this Magic team, for the 2023 Magic, is consistency. And we can't say that the Magic are super consistent right now. We're asking every game to have carryover, to see the same defensive energy. We don't know what Magic team we're going to get. And part of that's just being young. Learning consistency is a young thing. And so this team's super duper duper young. But they're going to need consistency to make this kind of a run. A consistency that the 2019 Magic were showing. Maybe they hadn't put all the pieces together, but they showed that they could play. We knew that team was different. And while certainly there was concern on January 29th, 2019, that that team was about to get broken up by the trade deadline, even with Nikola Vucevic set to become an all-star for the first time, the Magic ultimately stuck with it and were rewarded for that faith in their group. Who knows if that will happen this time around? And we'll get to some deadline talk here in a minute. I'm not here to tell you that the Magic cannot make the play-in tournament, that it is not impossible for them to do it. I believe this team is postseason capable. They're 15-11 in their last 26 games. They are more than capable of making a postseason run. They are more than capable, more than talented, more than skilled enough to do it. The question is whether the hole is too deep and whether this team can have the consistency to do it every single night. They've got a difficult schedule, according to Tankathon, the 11th most difficult schedule by opponent win percentage remaining in the league. At this point, that is a little bit significant. Obviously, you're about to chop off two games against Sixers. You got chopped off one Monday. You chop off one here. That schedule's going to get a lot easier. But this road trip is a big one for Orlando to settle themselves in and see if they'll make a push, getting a win, splitting this road trip, going 2-2 on this road trip. They play Charlotte on the last day of the road trip, so that already feels kind of nice. No offense to Charlotte, who's playing very, very well right now, by the way. Splitting this road trip would be a huge step forward for this group and would help this team kind of keep the ship level, which they've done a very good job of. This road-heavy stretch to the All-Star break is a big test for this young team. And if they could, again, weather this storm, stay in the race, maybe try and pick up a game, they'll be in really good shape. But they also have a March West Coast trip for the NCAA tournament that's going to be very tough, too. That's not something that the 2019 team had to deal with. 2019 team had a lot of home games, including a 5-game homestand right before the end of the season, where they swept through it and built insane momentum heading into the last stretch of the year. This Magic team can certainly do it, but it's going to be a very tall task. It's going to take this team locking in and showing a consistency that they haven't shown before. It's not impossible, but this group has work to do to get to that level. Of course, hanging in the background of all of this is next Thursday's trade deadline. We're going to talk a little bit about what the market's looking like and where the Magic stand in it. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our pals at FanDuel. Let me get the overlay on. Ooh. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. You can also get Rookie of the Year odds. Those are always fun. I don't know if the Rising Stars MVP odds are up yet. FanDuel is currently not available in Florida, so I can't check everything as often as I'd like. But I am sure Paolo Banchero will be the favorite for that too. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. I've been avoiding it. I've talked a little bit here and there. We will talk more trade deadline on Friday's episode of Locked On Magic. That is the plan. I'm actually recording that podcast today. So we will get into plenty of trade deadline talk. But honestly, it's looming over this team. I am not expecting the Magic to be super active at the deadline, to be perfectly honest. I am not expecting the Magic to go crazy. I know there's fans who are pushing to go after Fred VanVleet, to go after OG Anunoby, to really make a big splashy trade. And honestly, even though I think the Magic do have some assets to get the job done, especially some draft capital, I just don't see that as the right move, especially since if the Magic really want Fred VanVleet, they probably have the money or can get to the money to sign him in the offseason. I'm not saying that's the right decision, but they could do that. They could do the same with Gary Trent Jr. You know, again, the only benefit they would get is bird rights. And really, it's this part, this is the difficult part for the trade deadline for the Magic. The trade deadline is about buyers and sellers. It is not mutual agreements. It is not trades that help each other out. This trade deadline is about two things. The trade deadline every year is about two things. One of two things. Setting up the rest of your season or setting up your summer. And the teams setting up their summer are the ones that are selling players to get themselves in the position they want for the offseason. The teams that are buyers are the ones trying to set up the rest of their season. And so what I've constantly argued, or what I believe about the Magic, is that they are neither. They are not a buyer. They are not a seller. Their summer's already set up. They've got tons of cap room. They got all their draft capital. They got a bunch of young players they want to see develop. They don't need to sell anybody off. The only piece of urgency when it comes to selling for the Orlando Magic is Terrence Ross becomes a free agent. Mo Bamba's got a semi-expiring deal. He's got a team option for next season. Gary Harris is the same deal. They got a lot of these option contracts that they don't mind keeping, and they don't have to make decisions on until the summer. So really, the only piece of urgent business that the Magic have to do is Terrence Ross. And honestly, not the end of the world if he stays with the team for the rest of the year. He's been a good veteran. He's not been too upset that he hasn't been playing of late. Or even, honestly, as much as would suck not to get anything for him, buying him out isn't the worst thing either, because then Caleb Houston gets more playing time. Then you can maybe upgrade Kevon Harris to a regular contract. There are benefits to sitting tight and waiting. And again, you're not losing a whole lot, honestly. Like, I know that Jeff Weltman gets criticized for not using second-round picks. I'm pretty indifferent to second-round picks on this team. They're just, again, they're just assets. And you know, unless it's coming from a team that's likely going to be bad, they're not that valuable. A second-round pick is more valuable in theory than it actually is. I hate to say that. But the Magic aren't quite buyers either. Because as fun as it is to talk about the postseason, as fun as it is to talk about this team taking that next step, they don't have to take that next year or this year. I say this all the time. I've talked about this all the time when we talk about rotations, about coaching decisions, about a lot of things. This season is not about this season. Yes, it's great that the Magic already have 20 wins. Yes, it's great that the Magic are playing so well. Yes, it's great that that the team is at the postseason chase. That's all a sign that they're doing the right things. But it doesn't matter that much to what this team ultimately wants to be. Now, obviously, if the right deal comes along, if the right opportunity comes along, you take it. I love what the Atlanta Hawks did when they got Clint Capella. That set themselves up for the rest of for the next 2-3 years. And if the Magic find a deal like that that they really like, go for it. Be creative. But the market is going to treat the Magic like sellers. And this is why I think there's just not a lot of room to make a deal. Is the Magic want to be buyers. The only guy they're trying to sell potentially is Terrence Ross. But otherwise, they've got a roster to think about. They've got a team to think about. They're not throwing the towel in on the season. And they know that they're about to burst. This year's going to be fun, low pressure, all good. Next year's going to be a playoff year. And the Magic have to set themselves up to be a playoff team next year. I'll say that out loud today. The Magic should be focused on making the playoffs next year. No more low pressure, no more no pressure. This team is ready. They are talented. The Magic need to be a playoff team next year. They need to take that leap. We need to see that progress because rookie contract times are running out. Franz will be in his third year. He'll have 1 year left on his rookie contract. He'll be extension eligible. Paolo Banchero after next season will be 2 years into his career, 2 years into his rookie contract. You got to start making that sizable step forward. And so in that sense, the Magic should be buyers. The Magic should be thinking, how can we make our team better quicker? And like I said, I think better deals, I think more mutually beneficial deals are made in the offseason. I don't think they're made at the trade deadline. I don't think the Magic will get the kind of deals that they want here. I'm sure some of the negotiations they're probably having today will carry over into the summer. So don't take a quiet trade deadline to mean that the Magic aren't doing their work. We'll see what their work is in June and July, and I guess August too. But We'll see what their work is in the summer. I think that's when the Magic will make their big deals. Because right now, the Magic want to be buyers, but the market is going to tell them you're a seller. The market's going to say, what can we get from Obama? Will you take 2 seconds from Obama? Will you take a second for Terrence Ross? Can we get Gary Harris for a top 20 protected first? That's what the and then some salary flotsam. That's how the market is going to treat the Magic. The Magic could be aggressive. They could go after their targets. They could go after OG Anunoby. They could go after Fred VanVleet. They could go after Gary Trent. They could go after whoever else they're thinking about. They could go after someone we're not even thinking about, by the way. They could go off Bones Highland. There are players the Magic could chase. But are they ready to expend those assets now? Are they ready to push their chips in now and push their chips in on a team that, you know, isn't its final form? Again, I just think there's better deals to be made in the offseason than there are today. But the way to make a deal, you can't make a deal by yourself. And so much of what we're seeing, so much of what this team is going to do at the deadline is dependent on what other teams think and whether other teams are willing to give the Magic what they want or whether the Magic are willing to give other teams what they want. We know how Jeff Weltman is certainly willing to deal at the deadline, but he's pretty conservative. We haven't seen aggressive Jeff Weltman yet. And we're going to have to very, very soon. There's no doubt about this. But this trade deadline puts the Magic in a tough spot if they're looking to make a deal. Because sure, you could give Mo Bamba away for 2 second round picks if that's really what you want to do. But they also need a center. Their center depth isn't great. So you also kind of need Mo Bamba. Gary Harris, I don't think the Magic will trade him. If the Magic do trade him, it'll be for a heck of an asking price because he is so important to this team. I don't think the Magic are quite ready to trade Cole Anthony yet. Although that might be down the road because this was his third year. He is extension eligible this offseason, and I don't think it's clear how much the Magic should or will be able to pay him. It's a tough spot. And so I think the Magic are going to do their fishing. They're going to do their due diligence. But I'm suspecting and expecting a very quiet deadline for Orlando before we get to a very busy offseason. We're going to chat a little bit about the Rising Stars game as we get a couple of Magic players heading to Salt Lake City. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our pals at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you gotta try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. I think I'm doing okay. I've only got through one bag of Chips Ahoy cookies. But if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier, but don't want to compromise taste, then man, you've got to try Built Bar. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't even think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, so that right there just doesn't. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm really not sure how Built does it, but every flavor that I try is, like, so good. Tastes just like a candy bar, and I know it's not going to kill me where it hurts. And that's the sides and the stomach. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Now, you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You will thank me later. Check them out today wherever you get. Check them out at Walmart or Sam's Club, or of course at Built.com. Try them today. Built Bars are the best. All right, some brief news to get you today as we get set for All-Star Weekend in a couple weeks. Obviously, Magic's still out on the road, but the Orlando Magic will officially be represented in Salt Lake City for the NBA All-Star Game. Now, we should get All-Star Reserve announcements tomorrow. We're not expecting Paolo Banchero to be an All-Star Reserve, but he will be one of the headline acts for the Jordan Brand Rising Stars Challenge. This game will be played exactly like it was last year. The player pool will be split up into four teams. There should be three teams this year. They're going to have a G League team as well that will be led by potential second overall pick, Scoot Henderson. So you'll get to do some draft prep as well during this game. But Paolo Banchero is very much the headline and probably the favorite to win Rising Stars MVP in this game. This will be... I'm really excited about this game, just like we were excited about this game last year, because the Magic aren't on national TV, and so this is a national showcase for the Magic's young players. Paolo Banchero is the runaway rookie of the year. I don't think anyone's debating that. He was on the jump. He was on the jump on ESPN yesterday. Everyone knows how good he is, but very few people have seen him. If there's a reason why Ben Mathurin or Walker Kessler has kind of snuck into some of the and even Keegan Murray have snuck into rookie of the year conversations, it's because Paolo Banchero is not a highlight machine. He's just a constant, steady drumbeat, which is honestly the highest compliment you can give a rookie. But he's not putting up crazy numbers every night other than just consistently scoring 20 points. And he's not doing highlight reel stuff that just gets everyone's attention. That's okay. That's what we love about Paolo. But this will be an opportunity for the world to see him play, and I'm really excited for it. I'm sure he's very excited to be in this game. I know he believes he's Rookie of the Year. I think it's important to him that he wins Rookie of the Year. He will win it. It's pretty much done at this point. And so it's going to be great to see him play, and I expect him to really put on a show and to really try and put himself in the game and really show why he's so good. Honestly, I expect Paolo to be the number one pick in the Rising Stars draft. That roster pool, I don't know when that draft is taking place, but obviously it's got to be done before 2 weeks from Friday. Franz Wagner will also be making an appearance in the Rising Stars game for the second straight year. Wagner just kind of chilled out last year's game. I don't think that game is really designed for a player like him who just makes his team better. But he got his team to the final. He won his team the Rising Stars championship last year at the free throw line. So we'll see how that goes. Again, the format is the same as last year. I don't know what score they're playing to, but the teams will be broken into teams of four. There's a G League team already, so that team is set. So the NBA roster will be split into teams of three, into three teams. They're going to play two mini games and then one championship game to determine the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. I love this format. I loved how it worked out last year. Kept things moving very quickly. Got everyone very competitive very quickly. So we didn't get kind of the laziness that we typically see from the Rising Stars game. There's still plenty of laziness and plenty of just pure highlights, but when the games got serious, the games got serious. And so I really like this format, and I'm looking forward to seeing how these teams play. I am sure there's going to be some intrigue with Scoot Henderson playing, because I'm sure he wants to show out against NBA players, even if they're playing at half speed. And again, I'm excited to see how Paolo and Franz look on a big stage. But that's going to do it for me today. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. Of course, follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. Subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcasts. Search your tune in Himley, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey, and all the fun places to all podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. For the latest on the Orlando Magic, be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow us there on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. Now that you're done listening to us, be sure to check out the Game to Game NBA podcast. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. That's going to do it for me today, though. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this is Phil Brock from Mike Castillo. Next time for another episode of